This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, May 24th, 2015, Pentecost Sunday, by Father William Doc Holliday.
When the Counselor comes, he will bear witness to me.
May the words of my mouth and meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, the Lord our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen. When we come to the day of Pentecost, generally speaking, you try to explain the Holy Spirit as if that were possible on this side of the veil, or you try to explain some of the lists of moralisms that we have in the second reading today and see how they apply to our lives and how we're honoring the Holy Spirit and Him working through us by enabling us to do these. And they are very, very true. Unfortunately, in our day and age, it seems to be one extreme or the other when we approach this whole idea of the Holy Spirit. And one is sort of it's not a self-conscious negation like, oh, I don't pay attention to Him. That's not it at all. The Holy Spirit has a tendency to be so ethereal that we don't really think too much about Him. We hear about Him in the liturgy. We hear about Him in church. We speak of the Holy Spirit. But in an understanding of what He does, it can be so abstract for us. It's not like the Father and the Son, particularly the Son, who took on our nature and we can relate in some ways to Him. The Holy Spirit is a different category. And with this whole concept of being a different category or so, you know, transcendent, we have this tendency to not pay attention to Him. He is God, just as the Father and just as the Son. As much attention as you pay to God the Father and God the Son, that much attention should be paid to the Holy Spirit also. So you have a group of folks who, again, not a negation and, you know, I self-consciously kind of ignore the Holy Spirit. It's not that. It's just we don't think too much about it. Yeah, you hear about it, we just leave it at that. Yeah, He's there, just leave it at that. You have another group of folks who are like the polar opposite. And in the polar opposite, they pay too much attention to the Holy Spirit, because they pay so much attention to the Holy Spirit that they actually negate their attention to the Son and the Father. These folks are generally, they refer to themselves and are referred to by the other group as the charismatics. Check this one out, folks. If you're a baptized Catholic, guess what? You're a charismatic, all right? Just by definition. You, at your baptism, are infused by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to indwell you, and He gives you gifts, and those gifts are called charismata, so hence the term charismatic, all right? So don't be scared of that term, because you better be a charismatic, all right? However, on the charismatic side of the fence, folks that like to wave that banner, again, sort of wave that banner higher than the Son and the Father, those folks have a tendency to pay so much attention to the Holy Spirit. And what is truly unfortunate is these folks who really, really focus upon the Holy Spirit, they have a tendency to not really be clued into what the Holy Spirit actually does. They love the showy kind of things. They like the speaking in tongues. And yeah, but even the way you posture yourself at church. Oh, that person's a charismatic. Because when they're at Mass, they go like this. That's charismatic. Yeah, charismatic. Wrong. Okay? That is not the manifestation of the charismata in your life, that you hold your hands up like that. Okay? So, you got to strike a balance between the two. You've got to be attentive to the Holy Spirit. You have to understand why He does what He does. That's where I want to go today. Very briefly, to get us to meditate, because it lays a good foundation. You can have a better understanding and a foundational understanding of the Holy Spirit, not so much if you pay attention. Who is the Holy Spirit? What does He do? You lay a good foundation when you understand why he does the things that he does. Our Lord Jesus Christ speaks at length about his leaving and sending the Holy Spirit. He refers to him as the Paraclete, the Helper, the Advocate, the Comforter, the Counselor. He is all these things that we have to understand something about the Holy Spirit. And let's start about what I said before. The Holy Spirit is as equal in essence and substance as all the divine persons of the Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's not some theological parsing against. It's just what our Lord Jesus Christ says. In that gospel reading today, our Lord says, and I quote, "All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." Speaking of the Holy Spirit. Now when Jesus says, "All that the Father has is mine," he is not talking about material substances or possessions or this group or that group of things. He is talking about the essence of the Father. All that the Father has is mine. Our Lord is saying the Father's being is the same as mine. He is equating himself with God. So there's another passage right there where you can tell your friends when they confront you and say, Jesus never claims to be God when he says, all that the Father has is mine. He is claiming to be God. And then he goes on to say, therefore I said that he, speaking of the Holy Spirit, will take what is mine and declare it to you. Making the Holy Spirit equal with the Father and with the Son, this holy and undivided Trinity. Okay? So, they are one, the three. But he also says why, particularly in context of the Holy Spirit. He will take what is mine and declare it to you. Every single thing that the Holy Spirit does, all the glorious manifestations that we have seen him bring to fore in this world, miracles, is to declare our Lord Jesus Christ and the redemption that he wrought for each and every one of us. The wives of the Holy Spirit are to bear witness for Jesus Christ. This is where the folks who like to emphasize maybe a little bit too much on this, the things that the Holy Spirit does, you have to understand that the Holy Spirit does not speak without the Father and without the Son. The Holy Spirit's job is not to manifest ostentatious displays of power, healings, tongues, things like, for one thing, I harped on this really, this was the focus last year's Pentecost, and I don't want to get too much into it, but it does bear repeating frequently. This whole idea of tongues, we do ourselves a disservice with the English translations there. It can equally end in some English translation. It's languages, okay? It's not noises that you don't understand that somebody makes. That is not the gift of tongues. The gift of tongues is as if I would be, if we were at Pentecost, I would be speaking just like I'm speaking right now. That if you were a native Spanish speaker or a native German speaker or Japanese or whatever, you would hear what I'm saying in your language. That's the miraculous gift. Not me up here making noises that you don't understand. Well, look, he's speaking in tongues. No, he's gibbering. That's what would be going on. The gift, the miracle, is you understanding in your own language. Because why? That bears witness to Christ. It bears witness, as it says in the book of Acts, to the marvelous works of God. Everything that the Holy Spirit does is a witness. That includes healings, all the manifestations, all the miracles. Okay? They all pointed forward to our Lord Jesus Christ. And after he was here, right before he ascended, and right after he ascended into heaven, all the miracles confirmed that he was truly the Messiah. So that's how you have to balance this idea of the Holy Spirit. You have to understand that he never does anything without the Father and the Son bearing witness to them. That is what the Holy Spirit does. The Son came to bring to the fore our redemption, to die for us on the cross. The Father was to send the Son for our redemption. They each have in their personhood some function. The Holy Spirit's is to bear witness to Christ. So that's all well and good. You know, it's real heady and everything, very theological. Really, what does that mean to me? It means a tremendous amount to us, because one of the titles that our Lord uses for the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. Think about that for a second. We hear that quite frequently. The Comforter. What do we mean by that? What do you mean comfort? Comfortable. How is he comfortable? How is he comfortable? He is the Comforter by way of letting us deal with things in this world in a much different sense than people who don't have the Holy Spirit. I always point out frequently, we are the only people that can turn the worst of situations into something positive if we orient ourselves toward heaven, if we rely on the Holy Spirit to work in us. And this is, let me go here, this is a little footnote. The Holy Spirit was not sitting up in heaven twiddling his thumbs before Pentecost, okay? The Holy Spirit has always been active. He was active in creation. He hovered over the waters and brought order to the chaos that was there at the beginning. He brought order to these things. He was there and fell upon the two artificers who made the Ark of the Covenant so that they could work in wood and stone and all these other things and do the Ark as precisely as our Lord wanted. We know explicitly that the Holy Spirit came upon them. The Holy Spirit overshadowed our Blessed Virgin Mother and brought to the fore our Lord Jesus Christ before Pentecost. He welled up with inside her cousin, St. Elizabeth, and John the Baptist in her womb when the Blessed Mother approached them with our Lord enthroned in her womb. So the Holy Spirit has always been active, Old and New Testament. When we get this idea about the Comforter, in Psalm 27, the Holy Spirit speaking through the psalmist in the Old Testament. Again, the people of Israel are suffering again because they've turned their back on the Lord. And in their sufferings, the Holy Spirit says to them, wait on the Lord. Endure the sufferings that you're enduring right now. Wait on the Lord. Words of comfort. Even back in those days, wait on the Lord. Romans chapter 8. Kind of take it to the next level. The Holy Spirit speaking through St. Paul says, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. That's what I'm talking about. How can you legitimately say that? If you react to your problems in this life the same as people on the outside, people who do not have the Holy Spirit by virtue of baptism, how can you say that you consider the sufferings of the present time not worthy to compare with the glories that await you? How can you possibly say that unless you have some sense of comfort in those things? The only place that you get that sense of comfort is from the Holy Spirit, who is the Comforter. So his presence is very, very practical in our lives. Because you know why? It's the result of the gifts, the charismata, that he gives each and every one of us at our baptism. You know, we talk about the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. Well, that's got to be New Testament stuff. You know where the first place we hear about the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit? The prophecy of Isaiah. The prophecy of Isaiah in the Old Testament. The prophet says when he is prophesying the coming of the kingdom of Christ, he says that he will come and he will impart to you and he will have wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, and fear of the Lord. That is the seven gifts. Those are the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. That is the list. And the first time you read it is in Isaiah, in the Old Testament. Okay? That is the practical effects of the Holy Spirit in your life. All right? Not how you hold your hands during Mass. Not hearing sounds. All right? That's not it. They are those gifts that he gives each and every one of us. They are the gifts from which we derive our rules for Christian living. All that list that I just gave you. Wisdom. You know? Why are you sitting here today? You know, the world thinks it's silly that you sit in here. What kind of wisdom do you have that's different than theirs? A wisdom that has been imparted to you by the Holy Spirit. One of the gifts, one of the charismata. understanding, counsel. And when I say counsel, if I don't mean counseling others, that can be part of it, but first and foremost, it's us being receptive to the counsel of the Holy Spirit, Him applying God's truths and precepts and His commandments to our lives, not only knowing them here, but doing them here, and living our lives accordingly. Fortitude, the strength to endure when people are belligerent to us because they think it's silly, because they don't know, they don't have the gifts. For them to be in here is silly. Knowledge, and truly there is an aspect of this that is head knowledge. Okay? Why are you moved to understand and learn the things, the precepts and the commandments of God, to live according to them? Because of the Holy Spirit, the charismata. Piety, holiness. That's why we act the way we do. The closer we get to Christ, the more we know we should reverence Him. The more we should know the propriety of how we should worship, how we should dress when we come in here, how we should reverence Him when we come to the altar to receive our blessed Lord, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist. To go to confession once a year, that is piety, that is holiness. And we get that by becoming closer and closer to the Holy Spirit and through His direction and strengthening. And then, last and of course not least, particularly if you were here last week, and I'm not going to beat the dead horse again, fear of the Lord. We are supposed to have a fear of the Lord. That doesn't mean fear, that means a holy respect. That means fear. What do we fear? We fear that we are not in accord with His will and that we may be judged according to that. You know, again, we heard about it last week. If you weren't here last week, punch it up on this website. We are supposed to have a fear of the Lord because you know what? Our Lord says in one place, two things that the Holy Spirit does. He comes to witness and to show you that you will be judged. To judge righteousness. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He is the one from whom we derive the precepts and the rules of Christian living. And also, when we put all those things together, and if we are truly living them, we can discern if the Holy Spirit dwells within us. You know, there are, go figure, I'm sure this is a surprise to everyone, there are people that come to Mass every single week, and they do not exhibit these gifts of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Okay? Just because you're here doesn't mean, like I said before, if you're here, a lot of people are here because that's what Grandma and Grandpa did, and Mommy and Daddy did, and it becomes almost a superstition. You know, it becomes I can walk in late, and I get the Eucharist, and I can leave early. Guess what? I always tell people this. This is a little footnote for you. It's not a receiving the sacrament obligation. It's a Mass obligation. And a Mass obligation is only fulfilled when you're there when it starts, and you're there when Father gives the final blessing. If you come in late, I don't mean if you got in traffic or the kids. I don't know. I mean, if you saw, I'm just going to lay here for a second and hit the snooze. Okay? If you do that regularly, and you receive the sacrament and you bolt out the door, I'm preaching to the choir. It doesn't happen here, but you know what I'm talking about. Those kind of things happen. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are not there. You have to live your Catholic life to ensure that the Holy Spirit dwells within you. And you do it by knowing these gifts and knowing if you're applying them in your life. And everybody's different spiritually, and some people aren't there yet. None of us are there yet until we breathe our last. Okay? But it can always be getting better. Those are the effects of the Holy Spirit. When we read in the Scriptures about the Holy Spirit indwelling us, the Holy Spirit coming upon us, there's two ways you can look at that. One of them, and both of the ways are valid, and they're two sides of the same coin. One of them is truly that God indwells you. God, the third person of the Trinity, as a result of your baptism, has come and dwells within you, which should be kind of scary because He sees with your eyes. So when you're doing things maybe that you ought not behind closed doors, guess what? Those are His windows too. He's seeing exactly what you're seeing. He's there doing what you're doing. Kind of scary, okay? But He dwells within you, so He's there. But we also hear about the Holy Spirit indwelling us and coming upon us. It's also talking about these effects that He has in our lives. So not only His person, but also the effects of His presence. So when you're reading the Scriptures, and you hear about that, the Holy Ghost being within you, coming upon you, both He and His effects, can't have one without the other. I have the Holy Spirit in me, but I know I don't have to live like that. I know I don't have to do what the church says. I don't have to do this. It's me and God. No, wrong. You have to have the Holy Spirit, and you know you have the Holy Spirit when you truly live these gifts that He gives us. Because you know what the effects result in? The effects of the Holy Spirit within our lives, they renew us individually. Whether you're an infant or 99 years old, when you are baptized, you become a new creature. As the Holy Spirit says through St. Paul, you are a new creation. So I don't look any different. I don't really feel any different. You are ontologically a completely different being after your baptism. You are a new creation. And you, by the result of your baptism, are part of the body of Christ, which is the church. And the church is part of that new creation. It started already. I can't wait till Jesus makes the new heavens and the new earth. Yeah, He is going to do that when all things are fulfilled. But He started doing that at the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's when the new order of things started. As I said, it starts in here first, and then it starts as a result of what's in here. You become part of the body, and you become witnesses, just as the Holy Spirit is. And this whole new order of things is the result of not the Holy Spirit's presence within you. It is a result of our Lord Jesus Christ's death and resurrection. Well, that was Easter. That was several weeks ago. Now we're at Ascension. It's something different. No. The integrity between, you cannot separate the two. Our Lord came and died for us, for our salvation, and rose again in order to send the Holy Spirit to perpetuate that new creation, that new order of things that is within us. And that new order, again, is a result of Christ's death and resurrection. That is what the Holy Spirit, that is to what He witnesses. The Holy Spirit witnesses to this new creation and perpetuates it and strengthens it. The Holy Spirit is a witness. Our Lord Jesus Christ says, the Holy Spirit and the apostles are both witnesses. You read that in the book of Acts also. And as a result of the apostles being witnesses, so are we. Every Christian walking the face of this planet is a witness to the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not a witness to the presence of the Holy Spirit, not to walk around and just constantly emphasize it, because the Holy Spirit emphasizes the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are individually witnesses. We are part of a church that is a permanent testimony. The Holy Spirit is a witness for Christ. You also are His witnesses. You must act like it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.